Our sound effects were performed by Paul Curtis and Anne-Marie Hendrickson. The original music for this production was created by Mike Mandel. Recorded sound effects were produced by Stephen Lewis, and sound engineering was by Max Schmied. The Witch's Tale. The Witch's Tale is copyright by the estate of Alonzo Dean Cole. This is the 2018 Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention, and we are the Gotham Radio Players.
Snake House from The Witch's Tale, recreated by the Gotham Radio Players, recorded September 13th at the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention. One small part of our Halloween with the radio on all night long here at WBAI New York. And it is 9 p.m. This is WBAI New York, listener-sponsored radio. And coming up in our next hour will be an episode of The Inner Sanctum, the show with the creaking door, story of a witch returning from beyond the grave to get her revenge. Oh, I just looked at the list of things we have still to come. I don't see how in the world we're going to get to all of them. But at 10 o'clock, mark your calendar, at 10 o'clock, we will have the Quicksilver production of Frankenstein, a full-hour radio drama. We still have some Ambrose Bierce stories and a variety of other old-time radio shows. But right now, we need to take a moment to ask you to become a listener sponsor of WBAI. Now, we did get a few calls while we were playing The Witch's Tale. Where did I see that? I want to thank people who have called in. And I'd like to thank you, but you have to make that call. You need to become a listener sponsor right now. $25. The basic membership rate to become a member of WBAI. Remember, we get no money from the government. Yeah, we saw to that. We used to get money from the government. But if these people can't turn their papers in time, we get no money from the government. We also don't have underwriting. We do not have commercials. We have only our listeners to pay the way, to keep the lights on, to keep the 6 staff members. That's right. We run this with, maybe it's 7. Is it 7 paid staff members? How do we keep this place going? Well, we do it with the support of listeners like yourselves. We ask you now to go to the phone or take your phone out of your pocket, however you phone, and punch in this number, 516-620-3602. It's 516-620-3602. And for $25 or more, you will become a full-time member of WBAI for a year. Next year, you can vote. You're too late for this year. But for as little as $25, you become an actual member of the Pacifica Corporation, Foundation, whatever we are. 516-620-3602. And we do have a number of thank you gifts that are available. Somebody must have gone online and found one that I had forgotten was even there. Let's see, we thanked Adele in the previous break, but we have new pledgers. Jay doesn't say if I can say Jay's name, so of Manhattan, actually getting a couple of economics premiums that are available. If you want to see the full list of everything that's available, you can take you through the rest of this show, which is on until 6 a.m. Go to our website, give2wbai.org, and you can see all of the premiums that are available. From health stuff, science stuff, political stuff, and even some radio stuff. Now, let's see. Mark Maniac, it says here. Come on, Mark, really? Mark Maniac of Albany, New York. So we have an internet, I guess, listener. Unless he's got a very good receiver. He located something that's still on the website at Give2WBAI, the Bob and Ray download. He didn't want the Orson Welles download. He wanted the Bob and Ray download. At least that's what it says here. Yeah, so, I mean, if you just go to Give2WBAI and put download in the search box, you're going to find a couple of shortcuts from Peter Boshan and a whole bunch of stuff from me and the Golden Age of Radio that I'd forgotten was even there. The Orson Welles, with all of the Mercury Theaters, including War of the World, is a $75 pledge. The way the downloads work, you have to pledge with a credit card so that I can see that you've made your pledge and that it's, you know, gone through. And you must give me a valid email address. And with that email address, I will send you the key to unlock the download. I'll send you to either Dropbox or Google. I'm not sure where they are at the moment, but probably on Dropbox. And I'll send you the key that will allow you to download whatever download you're asking for. If it's the Orson Welles, that's a $75 pledge. You want to get the Bob and Ray download? That's there, too. As Mark just did, that's a $40 pledge. 516-620-3602. And, of course, the other premium we're talking about right now is the Ultimate Horror Library. The Ultimate Horror Library. At the time I put it together, about 10 years ago, it contained examples of every horror show ever on the radio.
And now it's beyond the ultimate.
Now it's beyond, because we're expanding it. We were, management as authorized, because DVDs, it was a two DVD set, and I guess if you still want it on two DVDs, you can get it that way, but now we're upping the ante. We're offering it on a thumb drive. Now, I tried to take one of these 8 gigabyte thumb drives that we have lying around the station, but if you get away, thumb drives work, you don't get the full 8 gigabytes capacity, so I could not get the entire contents of the two DVDs onto this thumb drive. So I said, look, we got to go to the next size up. And that's a 16 gigabyte thumb drive, which we have on a special order. But what this means is I can expand the Ultimate Horror Library to even further and better sound quality, larger file sizes than what we've got on the DVDs. So it's the new improved ultimate horror library on a thumb drive, a single thumb drive, for an $80 pledge. And that's a pretty fantastic deal. Only $80 for every horror radio show that I could find, and all the ones I found since. 516-620-3602. Ask for it by name, the Ultimate Horror Library. Actually, if you're going to ask for it by name, you have to ask for the Golden Age Ultimate Horror Library. An $80 pledge, and it's yours. 516-620-3602. Tell them why, Ratty.
Because this is, you're not going to get this anyplace else. And you're not going to find a radio station in New York City with this kind of commitment to promoting radio drama. In fact, it was one of the original pillars of Pacifica. One of the things that Pacifica was set up to do was to encourage the promotion of local radio drama in local communities. And Pacifica Radio, in fact, has done that. Since the beginning, and BAI, even in difficult circumstances, is still doing it, as is evidenced by what Max is presenting tonight. He's not just presenting the classic radio drama of the broadcast past, We just heard from the Gotham Radio Players, the group that I work with, an amateur group that has been promoting, that has been producing radio drama for how many years?
28 years.
28 years.
Told us.
28 years. I've only been doing it for 20 years with this group, but 28 years it's been doing it. We're going to be hearing at 10 o'clock. We're going to be hearing from the Quicksilver Radio Theater, led by Craig Wickman, and their production of Frankenstein. Again, a local group, a local audio theater group, and incredibly talented, accomplished group. That doesn't really have that many places that are the radio stations that are willing to put the stuff on the air. But we are, WBAI is, and Linda Perry was here a while ago, and they're saying we're moving in new directions here at BAI. We're pushing to be able to do even more from our broadcast base than we have been able to do in recent years. It's been kind of a challenge. We've been sort of like limping from location to location, where we kind of were always trying to make the best of things.
Yeah, the Gotham Players used to do two or three shows a year, and now we don't have a performance facility anymore in our current digs.
But we're going to. That's exactly what we're working on now, and what your pledge is going to help us accomplish. There will be not just Gotham Radio Players, but we hope many other groups will also be involved in doing radio drama here, because it's... people don't even realize until they hear it the possibilities of this as a as a medium, as a storytelling medium. It's incredible, the theater of the mind. And as I said, radio doesn't have to be just playing tunes. It doesn't have to be just people mouthing off on the microphone and the telephone. It can be the theater of the mind, as I said. It can be any number of things that we have forgotten that the radio can be. And we're trying to help continue this glorious tradition. And that's what we're doing tonight. That's what we're going to be doing until 6 a.m.
And we need your calls now at 516-620-3602. Those tax-deductible pledges of support. You can use Visa, American Express, MasterCard. You can even use PayPal. You can promise us a check in the mail. We have all of these payment methods available to you. But we would like to hear from you. I don't want to spend hours just, asking for your support. If we could get a couple of calls in every 10 minutes or so, then we can move along to our next production. And I think our next production is going to be The Inner Sanctum, The Vengeful Corpse, story of a witch seeking revenge. But, a quick reminder, too, that the live event, our WBAI's Halloween Comedy Festival, is going on downstairs right now. I caught a couple of partial sets from some of the comedians that are down there. 388 Atlantic Avenue. If you're in the neighborhood in Brooklyn, come on over. $13 at the door. There's probably half of the show left. And you get $3 back to buy a beer or a glass of wine. Or maybe a nice iced tea. Whatever. Whatever your pleasure may be. So that's going on now. Earth Mom is down there. And all those comedians, 388 Atlantic Avenue, right now, benefit for WBAI. And this program will continue until 6 a.m. It's our Halloween special. Combination of fundraising and Halloween stuff. I was looking over to see if our music ran out, but I see there's another 4 minutes on here. Do I want to go through this entire 4 minutes? Or should we just go on to the next program? It's kind of up to you. I would like to see a call or two come in right now. The Ultimate Horror Library on a thumb drive, a 16-gigabyte thumb drive. Every program, let's see, do I have that? Do I have that visible to me somewhere where I can actually see what's on it? Give you a better idea of what is actually on there. Let's just have a look at premium. So I got my big thumb drive here. Horror Library. Would you like to know just some of the things that you're going to get in the Horror Library? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes of an Australian version of The Inner Sanctum. Now, where are you going to find that anywhere else? How about a South African radio horror series called Beyond Midnight? This was probably just guessing from the mid-1970s. 5 episodes of a series called The Black Book from 1951. I don't even know what that is. Tell you what. Let's punch one up.
Tell you today.
Oh, Black Book.
This one's about a murder in which the victim trapped the killer.
Sounds like Paul Freeze to me.
Now starring Paul Freeze as your teller of tales. Another story from The Black Book.
These programs are so rare, I don't even remember them. Maybe we should squeeze in an episode of The Black Book at some point. What else? You got 5 or 6 episodes of The Black Book. What else is on here? Let's see. Black Mass. We're going to hear Black Mass in the 11 o'clock hour. It was a series from KPFA, from the Arts Department, in the 1963, 64, 65. They did about 40 adaptations of classics of literature. We're going to hear Rats in the Walls by H.P. Lovecraft later on tonight. 51 episodes of The Clock. As tales of suspense and intrigue that sound a bit like this. All of these on the Ultimate Horror Library. A thumb drive, a 16 gigabyte.
Sunrise and sunset.
Yeah.
Promise and fulfillment. Birth and death.
And infinity.
The whole drama of life is written in the sands of time.
A show from 1946.
We present a new series of radio programs, The Clock.
That guy sounds Australian, too. Is this another foreign series? They're trying to sneak this in on us? 516-620-3602, the number to call to get the Ultimate Horror Library, an $80 pledge to WBAI. Creaking Door. I thought we already covered the Creaking Door, did we? Or did we not? Australian? South African? Sounds like a cigarette ad to me.
I have flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours. And ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers. The Creaking Door.
All right. And you see, we're going alphabetically. We're only in the C's here. The next one up, a little 1944 wartime series, Creeps by Night. Half of them feature Boris Karloff.
We bring you Creeps by Night.
And this is one of the shows I'm going to replace with a better copy, because I know I have a better copy of it than this. And what else? Ah! Here's a little classic.
The Blue Network presents the...
All right, NBC. 1942. Series actually started before World War II began.
Dark fantasy.
Dark fantasy. Pulp horror and science fiction stories.
The letter from yesterday.
Just the one with Jane Wyatt in a rare radio appearance.
I beg pardon, miss, but do you happen to have any material at all dealing with the...
If you please.
Huh? What's that?
Will you please lower your voice?
But I...
And then you might read the sign over there. Or shall I read it for you? Absolute quiet required in this library.
My, but you read beautifully. But I wonder
Will
if...
Will you please lower your voice?
Okay, well, a little taste of dark fantasy, pulp-style horror, and... science fiction. Oh, here's one I really enjoyed. And what is it? It looks like about 20 episodes of... If you liked The Whistler, you'll love... Wait for it. The Diary of Fate.
The Diary of Fate. Fate plays no favorites. It could happen to you.
To you? Oh, doom cords, as we call them. So that 19 episodes of Diary of Fate.
Page 946.
In the Diary of Fate.
And if you like classic literature... from the same guy who brought you the 13-part Frankenstein serial, there's a 52-part Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Sadly, about half of the chapters are missing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present George Edwards in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Robert Louis Stevenson startled the world when he gave it Dr. Jekyll.
What's that?
What's missing, Jekyll or Hyde?
This masterly portrayal of the warring forces of good and evil, forever struggling for ascendancy in every human breast. But the child is ever father to the man, and for that reason we took you...
Just giving you a taste of what's available in the Ultimate Horror Library, his little show called The Haunting Hour. All right, get to the point.
No. No, stay where you are. Do not break the stillness of this moment, for this is a time of mystery, a time when imagination is free and moves forward swiftly, silently. This is the Haunting Hour.
Okay, we're only up to the H's, and there are still about 20 or 30 series left to come. We'll give you one more taste, and then we are going to move along to a full half hour of the Inner Sanctum. What I would like you to do, I would like somebody to call and pledge a copy of the Ultimate Horror Library. All of this... for $80 on a thumb drive. It's the old hermit with a tail.
Now the hermit is ready to help you spend an entertaining half hour.
Sounds just like old Nancy, huh?
Ghost stories. Weird stories. And murders, too. The hermit knows of them all. Turn out your lights. Turn them out. Ah. Have you heard the story of Vampire's Desire?
Why, no, I haven't.
Then listen while the hermit tells you the story.
All right, 31 episodes of The Hermit's Cave. And we got 102 lights out. We have two volumes, 75 shows each of the Inner Sanctum, 150 Inner Sanctum shows. You get 5 Mercury Theaters, which are horror and suspense-based. The Hitchhiker, Mercury Summer Theater. The Search for Henri Lefebvre. The Moat Farm Murder. War of the Worlds is included in there. And the Mercury Theater full-hour production, the first show they did of Dracula. So, I mean, this Ultimate Horror Library is, it's the bee's knees, and you need to have it for an $80 pledge. 516-620-3602. And just running down Mystery in the Air, the Peter Lorre series. Mysterious Traveler, 29 episodes of the Mysterious Traveler. You get Nightfall, you get Obsession, you get Omar the Wizard of Persia, a serial from the early 1930s. Similar, but not nearly as good, as Chandu the Magician. You get 39 episodes of The Origins of Superstition. Let's see, the show we can't mention, featuring Vincent Price. 415 episodes, count them, of Ripley's Believe It or Not. You know, we could probably take a moment to listen to an episode of Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Is stranger than fiction, and this is the proof. This is Ripley's
believe it or not. Bono was a French dwarf. He was only 18 inches tall at the age of 11. However, he ate 40 large cucumbers, 30 figs, and a whole watermelon for dessert each day. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the guard who was faithful even after death. Stephanos was a guard at the monastery of St. Catherine on biblical Mount Sinai. On his deathbed in the year 580, he pleaded to be permitted to continue his services. This unusual request was honored, and so after his death, Stephanos was placed outside the house of the dead. There, his fully clothed skeleton still guards the entrance today, a macabre reminder of the loyalty of a man many years after his death, believe it or not.
Yes, 400 episodes. 400 episodes. This thing has got thousands of episodes on it. Mainly because there are 400 episodes of Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Believe It or Not.
1 Minute Mysteries. The Sealed Book. Sleep No More. The Strange Dr. Weird. Oh, that's worth hearing. And for $80, you can hear all of these.
Madam Hatz,
they're all worth hearing.
The Strange Dr. Weird. Good evening.
Sorry.
Come in, won't you? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps it would calm you a little if I were to read to you from the secret journal of Professor Drake. It's a fascinating tale. I call it Journey into the Unknown.
Well, we have to continue our journey into the unknown, our 12-hour Halloween special here on WBAI. All of the things we've been listening to, and so much more on the Ultimate Horror Library, a compilation of every old-time radio show. Okay, one more, because I can't resist.
Son Paul has reached the final.
Topper. Hey, Topper.
Oh, Topper, darling. We're back.
Here we go again.
The Adventures of Topper, starring Roland Young.
That's right, we toss some comedy in there. Topper, the guy who lives with ghosts.
Hard-drinking ghosts.
And the Weird Circle, and the Witch's Tale.
Topper is a new comedy series based on Fawn Smith's hilarious bestseller and is brought to you by the makers of those bubbly light Crisper cornflakes, Post Toasties.
Did he say ghost toasties? All right, well, that's just a taste. Just we're leapfrogging through the Ultimate Horror Library, 516-620-3602. For an $80 pledge, you will get a thumb drive with all of these programs and so many more. And let's see, it seems like we've tantalized Paul of Boulder, Colorado. Boy, I guess everyone's listening online. He wants his Ultimate Horror Library, and so he shall have it. 516-620-3602. All right, the time has come. While you consider pledging, and we'll give you until 6 a.m. to consider it, we're going to turn to a granddaddy of horror programming on the radio. It started during the wartime. A lot of horror shows were on during the wartime because it took your mind off the real horrors in the world. Something else we're trying to do here tonight. What was the last thing I heard on the news? Anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim.
Synagogue shooting.
We're getting away from all of that until dawn here on WBI with our Halloween special. And up next, as soon as I find it here, yes, The Vengeful Corpse, episode number 439 of The Inner Sanctum, originally broadcast on September 12th. 1949. Much more than that about it, I can't tell you, so why don't we just listen to it? We'll be back in 30 minutes.
Romo Seltzer invites you through the creaking door for another Inner Sanctum mystery. And remind you to...
Five, headache, three.
This is your host to welcome you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum. Come in, won't you? I'd like you to meet some new guests we've just dug up. Now, that peculiar cadaver standing off the corner by himself has a serious case of claustrophobia. Mm-hmm. Poor Stiff, he just can't stand shrouds. Now, this fellow to your right was a mountain climber in life. He took his wife on an alpine hike, and while they were going up an icy slope, he cut the rope that held them together. Said he just couldn't stand being tied to one woman. And now, meet our most forgettable character, Wild-Eyed Willie. One day, Willie's ugly wife bit him. So, in anger, he buried her in the backyard. 6 months later, his homely mate came up as a dogwood tree to haunt him. Now, according to Willie, her bark is much worse than her bite.
Tonight's Inner Sanctum Mystery, The Vengeful Corpse, was written by Ed Adamson and Bob Sloan and stars Barbara Weeks in the role of Sarah with Carl Swenson as Paul. Inner Sanctum is presented by the Emerson Drug Company of Baltimore, Maryland, makers of Bromo Seltzer. Remember, Bromo Seltzer is compounded by registered pharmacists. It fights headache three ways.
Bromo Seltzer helps your headache quickly, pleasantly, and it also soothes the upset stomach and jangled nerves that may team up with it.
No wonder druggists report that of all headache products dispensed to their fountains, the overwhelming favorite is Bromo Seltzer.
Please, friends, absolute silence. We want it so quiet you can hear a head drop. In the small hillside New England cemetery, a chill evening wind stirs the leafless trees with a complaining murmur. A blood-red moon probes through the branches with grotesque fingers, touching the faded headstones with their eerie light. The frail, drawn-faced young woman sits on an old stone bench, listening acutely to the rustling of the branches, as if to capture some word whisper of the dead, forgotten past.
Sarah! Sarah!
No?
Sarah, where are you?
Oh, Paul, I'm here, over here.
Sarah, I've been looking all over for you. What are you doing out here, anyway?
I was called out here, Paul.
What?
The wind. There was a voice on the wind, and it called me to come out here.
That's just in your mind, darling. No voice called you.
Yes, Paul, it did. I recognized the voice.
You recognized it? Then whose voice was it, dear?
It was old and tired and sort of cracked. And yet I could recognize it as my own voice.
You heard your own voice?
Yes, Paul. And it was strongest right here where I'm sitting now. Among my family graves.
Hello there!
All right, boss.
Hello!
It's just Mr. Griffin, the caretaker. I asked him to help me look
Hello.
For you.
Oh, well, I see you found your wife all right, eh, Mr. Seaton?
Yes, I found her, Mr. Griffin.
I thought I saw Mrs. Seaton come to the graveyard here earlier. I didn't expect she'd still be...
Oh, well, what's wrong? What's the matter, Mr. Griffin?
Just that I get sort of a funny kind of feeling every time I pass this grave here.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
That grave, that one there, the one right next to you.
Why? What's the matter with it?
Well, ain't you noticed there's only one name on the headstone? The first name, Hester.
That's strange. My family name is Randolph. Wasn't this woman a Randolph?
Oh, you don't know the story?
What story are you talking about?
The kin who buried this Hester woman didn't think she deserved the family name, so they left it off the headstone.
Why? Why didn't they give Hester her full name?
Because they didn't want anybody to know who she was, I guess. See, Hester was burned at the stake for witchcraft.
Witchcraft?
That's what they say.
Mr. Griffin, my wife is an ill woman as it is.
Let him go on, Paul.
No, but Sarah...
What else, Mr. Griffin?
Well, that's all, Mrs. Seaton, except that Hester claimed at the stake that they were burning an innocent woman. She could be heard shouting it as the flames licked around her. She threatened with her last breath to get even someday.
How could she get even?
I don't know, but... According to the story I heard, Hester said that this here town owed her the years of her life that they took away.
Well, now, this is completely ridiculous. It's only a
legend. Mr. Griffin, tell me, how many years ago did all this happen?
Well, it's It's right here on the headstone, you see. Hester, a lost soul, born October 13th, 1759. Died. Good heavens.
What's wrong?
Look, Mrs. Seaton. The date of Hester's death. It's worn away.
Sarah?
Yes, Paul.
What are you doing out of bed? When'd you get up?
Why, just a minute ago. I can't sleep. She keeps calling me. I hear her voice right here in this room. Just a few minutes ago.
What?
She was begging me to help her, telling me she never really lived and pleading with me to bring her back to life.
Sarah.
I thought I saw her.
No, Sarah, believe me.
She was dressed in a black dress and there was a large W on it. That's the witch. And in her hand she held a flaming torch.
I'm going to call the doctor, darling. This is not...
Someone's at the door.
All right, I'll see who it is.
No, wait. I'll go.
Good evening, Mrs. Seaton.
Why, Judge Foster.
I hope I didn't awaken you folks. I saw a light in the window,
so that's all right, Judge. Come right in.
Thank you. I'm sorry to bother you this time of the night, Mr. Seaton, but I was looking out of my window on the other side of the cemetery, and I thought I saw something or someone prowling around out there, and I wondered if they come over this way.
Who was it?
I don't know. Someone carrying a torch.
A torch?
Go on, Judge.
Well, of course, it could be that my eyes were playing tricks on me. They're not so good. But as far as I could make out, it was a woman dressed in black.
Paul.
You saw this woman, Judge? You're sure?
Well, I'm pretty sure I saw her. Of course, it's kind of dark out there, but it looked to me like there was something on the front of her dress.
What do you mean?
Well, there was the letter W. A big white letter W on it.
It was Hester, just as
no, I... No, Sarah.
Hester? Who's Hester?
Hester Randolph. That's who you saw. She was in this house,
too. No, it must be a trick. You see, someone is trying to frighten you, to make you worse.
Now, hold on, folks. Hester Randolph was buried over 100 years ago.
She's come back to life.
Mrs. Seaton.
Judge, my wife is ill. She doesn't realize what she's saying.
I know Hester's alive. You didn't believe me, Paul, but Judge Foster saw her, too.
Well, I didn't see anybody who's been dead 100 years...
What is it, Judge?
Don't you smell it?
Yes.
Something burning.
This is the odor of burning flesh. Look. Out there on the back lawn, stuck in the earth. A torch. A flaming torch. Sarah, I tell you, it's useless to have me dig up this grave.
I've got to know, Paul. It's the only way I'll be sure.
Now, careful, Mr. Seaton. You're just about deep enough for the coffin now, if it's still there.
Judge, I don't know how you can sanction a thing like this.
Well, Mr. Seaton, you see, I want to be sure, too.
But it's ridiculous.
You've struck wood with the shovel. Yes, it's the coffin, all right. You better go easy now. That wood is soft with age and half rotted away.
Well, I think we can open it now.
Wait, I'll give you a hand with the lid.
There's something inside it.
The body. Charred.
It's a body, all right. Only it isn't a woman's. You can still make out the face. It's Griffin, the caretaker.
Dr. Norton, I am so glad that you've gotten here.
I came as soon as I could, Mr. Seaton. What's wrong?
She's worse, Doctor.
Oh?
Much worse. Been in her room all day, hiding like a frightened child. I think the reading made her worse.
Reading? What reading?
Well, for the past few days, she's been reading books about her family history.
Why did you let her have them?
Well, because at first, they seemed to quiet her. Since the night we found Mr. Griffin's body in that grave, she's wanted to know more and more about Hester Randolph.
Paul.
Oh, Sarah. Dr. Norton's here, dear.
You've got to warn him, Paul, before it's too late.
Warn who, Mrs. Seaton?
Judge Foster. He's in danger. Hester will kill him next.
What?
It's in the records of the court. The magistrate who sentenced Hester to death at the stake was a man named Foster.
Now, Mrs. Seaton, you're just upset.
Please, believe me. Judge Foster is a direct descendant of that magistrate.
Sarah, Hester's dead, dear. The dead can do no harm.
Oh, Paul, you don't understand. She's killed one man already, and now she's going to kill another. She swore she'd get that revenge on the magistrate and on the man who was her accuser.
Mrs. Eaton, all this took place over 100 years ago.
Then what about Mr. Griffin?
Well, what do you mean, Sam?
He had the same name, too. According to the record, Hester's accuser was a man named Richard Griffin.
So, Judge Foster, my wife insisted that I come over here and warn you about Hester.
Well, thank you, Mr. Seaton, for troubling, but I'm not a bit worried about the similarity of names.
Well, I didn't admit it to Sarah, but the coincidence with Griffin was strange.
Well, the dead never frighten me, Mr. Seaton. But thank you for coming over. Oh, by the way, can I drive you home?
No, thanks. Dr. Norton is waiting for me outside. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Seaton. Now, where did I put those glasses of mine? Sure, I left them here on the table. Wait. Say, who opened that door? Is that you come back, Mr. Seaton? Well, confound it, whoever it is, answer me. Who's out there? Who is it?
It's me, you corrupter of justice.
What? Who are you?
Your conscience has been dimmed by the evil of your acts. Who am I? Mark you well this torch I light. Now mark you also my God. This black garment I wear and upon which you had impressed the wicked Cliff W.
Hester!
Aye, Satan's magistrate, Hester Randolph!
You are listening to Inner Sanctum, brought to you by...
Glad we've got some Bromo Seltzer home.
More and more people are turning to Bromo Seltzer all the time because it fights headache fast and fights it all three ways. First, it quickly fights the pain of the headache itself.
Then it soothes upset stomach and jumpy nerves that may often team up with a headache.
That's right, folks. Bromo Seltzer does three jobs fast and pleasantly. Just put a teaspoonful of Bromo Seltzer in a glass and add water. It fizzes immediately, sparkling and refreshing, ready to help your headache all three ways.
Why wait, folks? Keep that familiar blue bottle handy at home and at your place of business.
Yes, friends, it's smart to be prepared for headaches at all times with Bromo Seltzer. It's on sale at all drugstores. Get a bottle today or tomorrow. Simply ask for...
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
That Hester character. You know, that's the way a dame gets when she's burned up. Makes a specter of herself. You know, folks, I kind of feel sorry for old Judge Foster. When Hester showed up, the poor guy didn't know which way to turn. To turn away which. They should have believed Sarah Seaton. She sure had Hester dead, or rather alive, to ride. Yes, indeed, it's a wise descendant who knows her own forebears. Particularly the grave-minded one. Well, now, let's get back to our flaming fable and see what's cooking for the next stanza.
Paul, wake up.
Mm.
Paul, please, wake up.
Oh, Sarah, what's the matter, darling?
I've just had a terrible dream. I'm afraid.
No,
I dreamt that Judge Foster was killed tonight by Hester. You did warn Judge Foster, didn't you, Paul?
Yes, of course, sir. Where are you going, dear?
I'm getting dressed. I'm going down to tell the judge myself.
You are staying here.
Oh, please let me go. It means a man's life.
You heard what Dr. Norton said, dear. Under no circumstances are you to leave the house. You're to talk to no one.
Why am I being kept here like a prisoner? Why don't you let me speak to... What was that?
Sounded like a door banging in the wind. Yes. There it is again.
It's in the rear of the house. Didn't you lock that back door?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I did. I'd better see what happened.
Wait. I'm going with you. I'd better turn on a light here in the kitchen.
No, you won't have to. I can see. It's the door, all right. Guess I must have forgotten to spring the latch fast.
Paul!
Sarah, what's the matter?
Out there. trees at the end of the lawn. I thought I saw a figure.
All right, just stay here, dear. I'll be right back. No one out here, Sarah.
You sure?
Positive. Probably just a shadow. Standing here, Sheriff. Right here at the back door when I heard her scream.
And there wasn't a sign of her when you got back here at the door?
Not a sign of her.
Well, folks just don't vanish into thin air, Mr. Seaton. She must be around here someplace.
I got to find her before it's too late.
Too late? What do you mean by that?
I don't know, really. I have a feeling that...
Oh, now you're not going to tell me about dead witches returning too, are you? Don't tell me you believe in that stuff.
I don't know what to believe.
Sheriff, is that you, Sheriff?
Yes, who's there?
You'd better come with me, Sheriff. I just discovered something on the side of the road, about a mile away. Mr. Seaton, I think you'd better wait here.
What is it, Dr. Norton? What have you found?
I'd rather you'd wait, as I said before, until we're sure.
What are you trying to hide from me?
I guess you'd better speak up, Doctor. If it's something that concerns Mr. Seaton, maybe he should know.
All right, Sheriff. When I made the turn into the road, my headlights caught it in a ditch. I wasn't sure at first, so I stopped the car and got out. There was a body in the ditch. A charred body. This way, Sheriff. Over here to the right.
Where is she?
Easy now, Mr. Seaton.
Right here, Sheriff.
Oh, wait, I'll switch on the flashlight. There.
Sarah.
Wait. Just a moment, Mr. Seaton. Dr. Norton has made a mistake.
What?
This corpse isn't your wife. I can tell by that ring. It's the ring that Judge Foster always wore.
Hello? Oh, yes, Sheriff. Any news yet? Well, why can't your men find her? It's been 6 hours already. No, I haven't heard a word. Yes. Please call me as soon as you hear anything, will you? Who's there? Who is it?
Oh, open the door. Hurry.
Sarah!
Yes, quick, let me in.
Oh, Sarah, thank the Lord you're all right.
Oh, no.
Darling, where have you? Ben, what happened to you?
Wait, lock the door quickly.
You...
She doesn't know I've come back. She's still looking for
Who?
Me. Hester. She was out there, Paul. That's why I ran from the house. She called to me from the road. Maybe go with her.
Go where?
To the cemetery. She kept me there, torturing me, begging me to change places with her.
Darling, you're not making sense.
Please, believe me. We've got to get away from here tonight, right now. She'll kill me if we don't. She wants my life for the one she never lived.
Now, stop it. Stop. Now, get hold of yourself. There is no such woman as Hester Randolph.
But I saw her. I spoke to her.
The woman you saw is somebody else, somebody living, who wants you to believe that she's Hester. She wants everybody to believe it.
But why, Paul? Why?
Because she's a cold-blooded murderess. She's killed 2 people already, and she's trying to drive you out of your mind completely.
Then who? Who could it be?
I wasn't sure before. Now I'm almost positive. It's Dr. Norton.
Dr. Norton.
Now, you saw this Hester, Sarah. What was she like?
Oh, like a ghost.
Hmm?
Like a shadow in the light. You can see her face, and yet you can see through it, beyond.
No. That was just an illusion created by the night, dear.
Oh.
And perhaps some other tricks of a clever, scheming woman. You'll see. I'll prove that Dr. Norton is... That's the back door, Sarah. That's... blown open again.
Leave it. We've got to get out of here.
No, you stay here. I'm going to see who opened that door.
Please hurry. Don't leave me alone so long. Leave us a moment. Paul!
What is it, Sarah?
Don't come in here. Don't come back. I'll run away as fast as you can.
What's the matter?
Don't come in here. Leave here. Esther!
Sarah!
Look out! I've got the gun out of the desk. I've got a gun!
Sarah! Are you all right?
I killed it, Paul. me anymore. I killed Hester. She came toward me and I fired.
Sarah, there's no one in this room, dear.
Over there. In the hall. She's there.
Where? I don't see her. Good Lord, you've broken the mirror.
What?
You shot it yourself.
No. It can't be. I can't be her. And yet I saw her face.
But it was my face, too.
Sarah. It was you. You all the time.
I am Hester, fair gentleman. It is warming to have such a friend as you to stand beside me in this mockery of justice.
Oh, Sarah, Sarah.
Run. Run as fast as you can, Paul. I was wrong. I haven't killed her. Run.
Sarah, I've got to help you. I've got to explain to you that you...
But I'm not Sarah. Not anymore. Can't you see who I am? Can't you see who's taken my place?
Sarah, listen to me. I love you. Please, please, come back to me.
Sarah's gone. Now I can live the years they took from me.
Sarah.
See in my hand this pistol. He will bid as I say. He will come with me.
Still no answer, Sheriff.
No answer, Dr. Norton. I can't understand it. Mr. Seaton was home when I called just 15 minutes ago.
I warned you, Sheriff, to have that house closely watched.
Well, I can't do 100 things at once. I've got every available deputy out looking for Mrs. Seaton.
Don't you realize she may have gone back to their house? Don't you realize that she's the one who might be Hester?
Mrs. Seaton? Hester? What the deuce are you talking about?
I'm talking about dual personality. Mrs. Seaton is suffering from a nervous breakdown. And it's entirely possible that she's the one who killed Griffin and Judge Foster.
Well, you should have told me this before, Doctor. Come on, we're getting right over to the Seaton house.
Here, Paul. They buried Hester's body here. Dishonored and unnamed. But, Paul, you believe in my innocence?
Yes, Sarah. We better go back, dear.
Back?
Yes, to the house. Very cold here.
It's cold everywhere, Paul. I feel the chill of death coming near me. You and I are going back. Back through time. To an age where no one can harm us. This torch, I hope, will free us forever.
Now, wait. Now, Sarah, please, listen. Now, try to understand, dear. You...
Heal your mind, the flames will be of no pain. I know. Because I've been through such a death before.
No. Now, Sarah, wait.
Paul, Hester's going.
Oh,
Mr. Seaton, yeah. Are you all right?
Yes.
Looks like we got here just in time.
Paul, she's crying for me. Forever.
Oh, Sarah.
She's dead, Mr. Seaton.
I'm sorry, Mr. Seaton.
Sheriff.
What is it? What's the matter?
Look, the headstone, I didn't notice that before. It's been recut.
Oh, what do you mean?
Don't you see what it says? Hester Randolph, a lost soul. Born October 13, 1759. Died September 12th,
1949. Hey, have you had your personality split lately? You see what happens when a dame gets her dates mixed up? Poor Hester. She didn't know whether she was coming or going to the grave. Now, look, if you should be in an old New England cemetery some night and one of the headstones should move, don't be frightened. It's probably just Hester coming up for a hot date again. Oh, by the way, there's no parting moral attached to tonight's tale. I'll just leave you with your own thoughts. As horrible as I hope they are.
Friends, it's so foolish to suffer with an ordinary headache when Bromo Seltzer gives you such fast, pleasant, three-way relief.
It's true, Mr. Weiss. Bromo-Seltzer is so pleasant to take, and it works so fast to help your headache all three ways.
Yes, Bromo-Seltzer speedily fights the headache pain itself. Then it goes right to work to soothe the upset stomach and jangled nerves that often may team up with a headache. Try it next time you get a headache. Prove to yourself just how fast it works to help your headache all three ways.
We've tried a lot of headache products, but it's Bromo-Seltzer from now on for our family.
You'll say the same thing, too, once you've discovered Bromo-Seltzer. So get a bottle today and be prepared at all times to fight a headache fast all three ways.
It's smart to keep Bromo-Seltzer both at home and at your place of business.
That's right, folks. Remember, Bromo-Seltzer gives you fast three-way help for a headache. It's on sale at all drugstores. Caution, use only as directed. If headaches recur or persist, see your doctor. Get Bromo-Seltzer today and... Time to close that squeaking door for another 7-day rest until next week at this time, when Bromo-Seltzer brings you another Inner Sanctum Mystery, directed by Hyman Brown. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum Mystery novel is Hanged by Your Neck by Henry Kane. Next week, you'll hear a love story. It's all about a man who loves to kill and a woman who loves a murderer and a murderer who loves a woman. It's the eternal triangle, but dipped in blood. So won't you be with us when we take you on a honeymoon in a chamber of horrors? Until next Monday, then. Good night. Pleasant dreams. This is Dwight Weist inviting you to tune in again next Monday at the same time to Inner Sanctum, which is brought to you for your entertainment every Monday by... This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcast.
Casting system? Valkyries ride in, as do the witches. That was The Vengeful Corpse from the Inner Sanctum, September 12th, 1949. Early use of the sonobox. Isn't it interesting how new inventions are first used for commercial purposes? And, let's see. Barbara Weeks, Carl Svensson, Alan Devitt, Everett Sloan, and your host, Paul McGrath, who replaced Raymond Edward Johnson in 1945. Well, in about 4 short minutes, we are going to listen to a full hour production of Frankenstein, Modern Prometheus from Quicksilver Radio Company. I would like to thank some people who pledged in the last break and urge you to do the same. Yes, we can't interrupt Frankenstein, so let me push home the point that we need people to call 516-620-3602 and make tax-deductible pledges to WBAI. We're asking you to pledge $80 and receive a thumb drive, a 16-gigabyte thumb drive, Matthew. It has been approved. We are expanding the ultimate horror library. It's going from 8 gigabytes to 16 gigabytes. It's on a thumb drive. Everything that was on the old one, plus sound upgrades, bigger file formats, and more material. Okay, well, so 516-620-3602 to obtain your copy of the thumb drive with the ultimate horror library, over 40 series represented. Old ones, new ones. We didn't mention some of the Canadian and other English-speaking countries series that are included. Some of them we can't even, we dare not mention their names. 516-620-3602, but we would like to thank Paul. Can we thank Paul? Yes, we can thank Paul Migliorelli of Boulder, Colorado, getting the ultimate horror library. I think we may have thanked Paul already, but we thank him again. However, calling since Paul called, Freddie of Brooklyn, calling for some Gary Null. Yeah, Gary Null's got red and green stuff. Gary needs to make some
orange and black stuff.
Yeah, getting the Halloween marketing, Gary. Come on, orange and black pumpkin powder. Gary Null's pumpkin powder. Well, if you
pumpkin spice powder.
If you've heard any Gary Null premiums, good time to call. This fun drive won't last forever, and you'll be out your Gary Null stuff. Okay, but pledging for the Golden Age Ultimate Horror Library Collection is, wait a second, how many times are they putting this pledge through? It's Paul again. How many of these you getting, Paul? What's going on? A little glitch in the answering service? 516-620-3602. Get your Ultimate Horror Library or get your Orson Welles download. Everything Orson Welles ever did on the radio. Yours for a $75 pledge. And we don't have to mail it to you. Matt doesn't have to make a disc and put it in the mail. No, you just pledge on a credit card. You give me your email address and I send you the code and you download it your own damn self and have it in your hands tomorrow. 516-620-3602. That's only valid on the Orson Welles, by the way. The Ultimate Horror Library at this point is only available on the brand new thumb drive for an $80 pledge. 516-620-3602. It's actually 10:01. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming live at WBAI.org. Two more people to thank, and then Frankenstein from Quicksilver. Lenore of Brooklyn is getting Gary Null's anti-inflammation, anti-arthritis pack and cookbook. So don't let those bones, whether they be dry bones, bones connected here and there, don't let those bones bother you. Get some Gary Null anti-inflammation stuff and you'll be okay. And making a pledge in the name of our prison reform show, On the Count, is Lenore, calling from Brooklyn, New York. Thank you for that pledge. And, all right, we do have to get this Quicksilver on. So a quick reminder, the number to call to make a donation to keep WBAI on the air, the only station with the freedom and power to present a 12-hour Halloween special, the only station with the gumption to do it. In these here United States, WBAI New York, you should support it. Become a listener sponsor. Give to WBAI.org. Pledge on the website. Give to WBAI.org. Or call the tally room right now. 516-620-3602. The Ultimate Horror Library thumb drive. 16 gigabytes. 40 plus series. And multiple episodes in most of those series. So we turn now to another fairly modern radio creation. Is this done live at BAI? This is a recorded version. Actually, Craig and Quicksilver performed this live a couple of weeks ago right here in New York. But this is the recorded version, the one that's playing on many radio stations tonight around the country. Quicksilver Radio production.
Whoop. From New York, Quicksilver Radio.
And that's just the taste of the first 5 seconds, but I do want to give it a proper introduction. And now I've forgotten what I was going to say. However, it is the 200th anniversary of the novel Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, and here is a faithful radio adaptation from Quicksilver. This is WBAI New York. Take it away, Craig. Craig Wickman, ladies and gentlemen.
From New York, Quicksilver Radio Theater presents a parable about love and violence. Our 19-year-old author first saw her story in the land of waking dreams. So please, turn down your lights and join us there as we present Frankenstein, Modern Prometheus by Mary Shelley.
To Mrs. Saville, England, December 5th, 1797, from Captain Robert Walton, somewhere in the Arctic regions. Dear sister, so strange an incident has happened that I must record it, although I hope to reach you before this letter. Last Monday, the ice had enclosed our ship on all sides when...
Look there! About a half mile to the north, a dog sled!
The man driving it is huge! Give me those spyglasses! I'm losing them in this bloody fog.
Had it been only a mirage caused by the blinding ice? After a sleepless night, I came on deck. The crew was looking over the starboard side of the ship at a sled with but one dog yet alive and a haggard driver. He was not the man we had seen the day before, and to see two strangers in this forsaken place was astounding.
Morning, Captain. The ice is breaking up, sir.
Thank you, mate. Bring that man aboard.
Aye, sir.
Before I come on board, will you please tell me where you are bound?
A strange question from someone on the brink of destruction. We are on a voyage of discovery toward the north.
Thank you. I will come on board.
Good God, Margaret, if you had seen this man, his limbs nearly frozen and his body emaciated by fatigue. We forced him to swallow some brandy and wrapped him in blankets near the kitchen stove. It was 2 days before he could speak. Then I brought him to my cabin. My friend, who are you? Why have you come so far on the ice in so frail a vehicle?
My name is Victor Frankenstein. I seek one who fled from me.
Did he travel in the same fashion?
Yes.
Then I believe we saw him the day before we picked you up.
How did he appear? Where was he headed? Do you think the breaking ice destroyed his sled?
Slowly, my friend. May I call you friend? Lie back. You are still recovering.
You are right. And you may call me friend. But I have been ungrateful. I have not asked you what brought you to this forsaken place.
I thank you. I left friendship behind to pursue my heart's dream. We seek the Northern Pole. I do not think it is a place of frost, but of undiscovered wonders. I may find the power that rules the compass, observe the stars as never before. Such benefits to mankind are surely worth the risk of my life and of my crew.
Unhappy man, have you drunk of the same madness as I? Hear my tale and you will dash the cup from your lips.
I do not understand, but if you have the strength...
But barely. I thought my evils would die with me. Perhaps they can save you from yours. I was born in Geneva of a distinguished family. My father was a public servant and began his family late in life. My mother was much younger. For years I was their only child.
Victor, my darling.
My own son.
Her kisses and his smile are my first memories. They were ever conscious of what they owed to the one that they had brought to life, to guide to happiness or to misery. My mother was an angel who opened our home to the child of a destitute peasant couple.
I have something lovely for my Victor.
Hello?
This lovely girl became my more than sister. She took simple delight in the wonders surrounding our home. To me, nature was a secret to be unlocked. I later gained a brother, 7 years my junior. I had but one boyhood friend, Henry Clerval. Though a merchant's son, his heroes were King Arthur's Knights of the Round Table.
Victor, what are these strange books?
Victor, I told you not to waste our time reading this. Alchemy is pure trash.
Alchemy, like Merlin?
Have you read it, Father?
No.
I want to learn, so I shall. I read of Magnus and the search for the Philosopher's Stone, of Paracelsus and his experiments with life itself, though my incantations were always failures. When I was 15 years of age, Elizabeth and I were caught in a tremendous thunderstorm.
Victor, let's go home! Look! The lightning killed that tree!
Could it bring life, too? You go on ahead. I'll come soon. I became fascinated by electricity and the works of Dr. Benjamin Franklin. My parents resolved to send me to the university at Ingolstadt in Germany. But before I left, the first misfortune of my life occurred. Elizabeth caught scarlet fever, and in healing her, my mother fell victim.
Come closer. Victor, Elizabeth.
Mother!
Remember, my highest hope has always been for your future union.
Mother.
Victor,
yes.
Make me proud of you at university. It's hard to leave you, but I will see you in another world.
Mother!
What an evil death is. What a void it leaves.
Victor, it's time to leave for school.
Yes, Father.
Victor, remember your promise to write often.
I will.
Say goodbye to your brother, William.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Victor.
I was alone and lonely, but my thirst for knowledge was strong. As I reached the white steeples of Ingolstadt, my spirits rose. I was given a solitary apartment at the top of an old house. The next day, I met my professors. Krempa.
Alchemy? You wasted time on such nonsense. You must start anew.
But...
Remember, boy, who is the professor?
And Waldman, a small man of 50 years with graying hair and a benevolent countenance.
The ancients promised everything, but performed nothing. The modern scientist admits that he knows very little, but performs miracles. He digs into the earth, ascends into the heavens. He will show us the world's secrets. But that is all for today, class.
Professor Waldman,
yeah?
I believe I have abilities, but I have been told that my studies were in vain.
Mr. Frankenstein, eh?
Yes.
Krempa told me of your heroes. True, those magicians had little knowledge, but their zeal brought us to where we are today. A scientist must bring that zeal to every branch. Such work can only benefit mankind.
From that day, my fate was sealed. Professor Waldman smoothed the path of knowledge for me. Chemistry, biology, galvanism. Often dawn came with me still in my laboratory. As months passed, I became obsessed with the structure of man, and to understand the living, we must know the dead. I was raised to not know fear. So as the moon watched silently, I pursued nature to her hiding places. I entered the unhallowed damps of the grave and saw the worm inherit the brain. I worked upon the living animal and upon those in the dissecting room. My eyes burned with fatigue when suddenly, in all this darkness, a brilliant light broke in. I discovered the path to life itself. I see by your eyes, Captain Walton, that you would hear this secret. No. The man who seeks a greater place than nature directs finds only grief. I had found this power. How should I use it? My imagination soared. I would create a human being. Minute parts hinder work, so I began a being of great size. A new species would bless me as father. And if I could animate cold tissue, perhaps one day I could bring back the beloved dead. Summer passed, the leaves fell. I ignored my distant family. I grew pale and nerve-wracked. I promised myself rest when my creation was complete. Long past midnight of a dreary night in November, the moment came. With an anxiety that was almost agony, I collected the instruments around me. I knelt by the lifeless thing that lay at my feet, near the engine that would supply the spark of life. By the half-light of a dying candle, I saw the dull yellow eye of the creature open.
No!
A convulsive shudder shook its form. I had worked hard for 2 years, but now that I had finished, revulsion filled me. I had endeavored to make him beautiful. Lustrous black hair, pearly white teeth. But great God,